Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, it's scary cast. What more can you say as that thing fades out? I'm Dr. John Stamey, live from Wilmington, North Carolina, one of the three spookiest towns on the East Coast, the other two being Savannah and the other one being Charleston. They are spooky, now I'm telling you that. And Wilmington has got, oh my God, you wouldn't believe the ghosts up here. I've been hanging out with some of them, and it's been a lot of, I mean, what do you think, listen, what do you think I'm going to do if I'm up here? Staying, and am I going to stay away from the ghosts? Absolutely not. So we're going to be doing some interesting things here on Scary Cast Tuesday because I'm in Wilmington now, and it's a lot of fun. So anyway, glad to have everybody here. We got a great show lined up. We got our panelists. We have our guests. We have a panelist that's also a guest. So what I'm going to do, first of all, everybody knows me, hard not to know me. I'm going to introduce my other co-host, Kyler Smith, from Houston, Texas. How are you doing tonight, Kyler?
Dude, it's been a fantastic day. I feel great.
It's been a fantastic day. Well, that's great. Mine was kind of up and down and weird, but I just kind of left work. I said, I'm done with this stuff. But anyway, we're glad to have you here and all that. Now, our co-host, who is now a guest tonight, is none other than Matt Delf. How are you doing tonight, Matt, as a guest on Scary Cat?
I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain.
Well, we're glad you're here as a guest tonight. And you're here with your partner in crime, Jamie Whitaker. How are you doing tonight, Jamie?
I'm awesome. How are you guys doing?
Well, I'm glad you're here. I really am. And Matt says a lot of good things about you because, you know Matt and I talk about every day.
Yeah.
He's kind of stuck with me, you know, but that's great. I'm glad to have Matt around. He's been a good friend for about 6-7 years and just glad to have him here with us. So anyway, now you two, I'm going to just go ahead and jump to the chase. You two were at the Georgia Bigfoot. Matt opened up. He was the first speaker. And he's going to be the first speaker at the North Carolina Bigfoot Conference at 9:30 on Saturday, June the 17th. Now, Matt, if you're late, I'm going to punch you out in front of everybody, okay?
I have a tendency to be running a little late.
No, there will be no running late up there in Burnsville, North Carolina, at the Burnsville Town Center, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So you are not going to have that. I will yell at you. But anyway, we're looking forward to having you there. And so now, Matt, start us off. Tell us why you and Jamie are here, because what you told me is you did some exploration and you had some really interesting results. So tell us about them. And Jamie, you better jump right on in because Matt will just try to hog the microphone. So you jump in and all that. Tell us, give us our first round for about 10 minutes. Sound like the GE College Bowl here. For about 10 minutes, tell us what happened. Then Kyler and I will start asking questions. How's that?
Okay. Sounds great.
Okay, Matt.
Okay.
You're on deck.
Now, this actually, we did our investigation actually before the night before the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. That's why I was running a little bit late, actually.
Now, hold on, Matt, stop. You said the night before Georgia Bigfoot Conference. Is that anything like the night before Christmas?
It is. Conference Eve, I guess you could say. Conference Eve.
Matt, I'm sorry. I had to say that. I just had to say it. Jamie, thank you for laughing. I'm sorry. I just had to say it. Kyler, you didn't even laugh. You're already down to a B plus. You don't even get an A for tonight. Okay, Matt, continue.
Okay. So what actually had happened is we're back at the hotel room the Friday night before the conference, and it was pretty late, and everybody knows I'm spontaneous. Whenever I get a feeling about something or whatever, I had this strange, odd feeling come over me, and it was like at 1:30 in the morning, and I'm like, I need to go to the mountains. So I tell Jamie, I'm like, let's go to the mountains. She's like, right now? And I'm like, yeah. So we get out there, and so we go up this. I don't know, I had this odd feeling, hey, you need to come up here to the mountains, and it was then, and everybody knows I'm spontaneous, I react to it, so I get that calling, I go. And what was pretty cool was, so we start going up there, and this is way up in North Georgia Mountains, there's no people, you're going up, I didn't know if my car was going to make it all the way to the top where we had actually went to, so we get up there, and after we would stop along the way, and we would listen. We'd hear weird stuff, you know, kind of walking through the woods, but it wasn't nothing out of the ordinary. And so we finally get to the top, and there's an old cemetery up there. And that cemetery, the same location that we were at, was where I had an encounter with Lori Wade and George and John, two other friends of ours up there with a Bigfoot throwing a rock at us, and we had got tracks and stuff. So I don't know why I was being called back to that location.
And I've got to stop you and say this. Lori Wade is one of the nicest ladies in the whole Bigfoot world. Don't you agree?
I agree, definitely.
She's a sweetheart. All right. Okay, there's my plug for Lori Wade. Go on now.
So we get up there, and we get to the very top and looking around, and where I was so spontaneous, I didn't bring a flashlight. Couldn't find it. It's there somewhere in my car, but if you've seen my car, it's a mess. It was in there somewhere. But so we get out, and we barely make it up. It's a rough road. Jamie can tell you. She's like, oh, my gosh. And in a little car trying to make it up there. It's old logging road. And we get up there, and, I mean, it was quiet. The air, it was kind of quiet. And so we're up there, and we go up, and I'm showing her this old cemetery. And it was kind of neat, kind of had a weird feeling. It wasn't threatening or anything at the cemetery. But we come down and out of the cemetery there, and it looks like, in the shadows, it looks like a person or a being. Something was at the end of that road. You could see through the trees, and it looked like it was coming toward us or moving. We couldn't tell. And we had sit there and observed for a while, and then it just kind of disappeared. And,
well, I got
a little bit of a
visual in my mind's eye of somebody coming towards us right before we started looking. So I feel like it was more than just a, you know, light. They play tricks on you. The shadows and stuff will play tricks on you. But of, you know, of a being, it coming towards us in my, like I said, in my mind's eye. So I feel like it was a little bit more than that. But there really wasn't much of an energetic vibe. But it did look like somebody was down there after that.
Yeah, it was weird because, I mean, it kept, but we couldn't really tell, you know, because it was dark and could have been shadows playing tricks or whatever, but we had a feeling, we're pretty sure it was something. But so we're sitting there, and we'd been up there for quite a while, hadn't we, by the time?
Yeah, by then we'd been up there for a while.
And then wasn't it, didn't you, I can't remember if you started talking to the woods or me or something. We start talking, you know, we're like, hey, yeah, you're basically talking to the wilderness when we're up there. We're trying to say, hey, it's okay. You know, if there's anything here, let it be known, whatever, you know, that we mean no harm. And that's when Jamie was the first to start seeing it. She starts pointing it out to me. Go ahead and explain, Jamie, what you had seen that started.
We start seeing, like, really bright flashing lights, and then like fireflies is what I thought, right? Initially, I thought it was fireflies, but they were really bright and up in the tops, way up in the tops of the trees, and it was pretty cool. I mean, the temperature, it wasn't cold, but it was pretty cool and kind of early in the year. So we start watching them, and they looked like fireflies, but brighter, way brighter. And then there were a couple of them that were actually red. So most of them were that white, like I said, like you would see that would just look like a firefly. But some of them were actually red. So that was, I was like, there's no way these are fireflies.
Yeah, and it was odd because it was clear up in the tree. And after doing some research, because we're trying to debunk it, we looked and fireflies don't come out until the end of May, beginning of June. So this was at the beginning of April, very beginning of April, April 1st, actually, into March, 1st of April. And so
Matt, can I jump in here? This is Dr. John. I've got a quick comment observation. When I grew up in Morganton, North Carolina, which was in the mountains of North Carolina, we had lots of fireflies. Now that I live at the coast and lived in Myrtle Beach for 25 years, we didn't really have fireflies down there. Are fireflies pretty much indigenous to the mountains, or do you happen to know?
I have fireflies down here.
They're anywhere there's pretty much meadows, fields, because they put their larvae in the ground, and they emerge from the ground in late spring, early summer, and that's when you start getting the flashing lights. The lightning bugs start going off in the peak season. I think it's around August. Not real sure, but I think August.
I got to tell you a story. We were like in the sixth grade. And we were at my house, and me and David and Steve, my two friends next door, their mom had come over and brought them over. And so I said, let's just lay on our backs and watch the fireflies. And we did. And so Ms. Hunt came back about 10:30 or something after talking to my mom. And we got up, and our backs were covered with water with the dew that had been on the ground. But we had seen a spectacular firefly show. And she said, what have you boys been into? And I said, we've just been watching fireflies. But it was just kind of funny, you know. We got in trouble. I got them in trouble because apparently they had on clean clothes that they were going to wear at school tomorrow. And oh, my God, Miss Hunt was all mad at me. And we were just, you know, watching the fireflies. It was a lot of fun because they come out in gangs. You know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
Man?
Yep.
You can see tons of fireflies, and it's a beautiful light show. In a way, it's kind of like a fireworks show. If you get a lot of them, you know what I mean.
Exactly.
And yep.
I had to share
that story. Ms. Hunt got mad at me because I had her boys. And they were all wet on their back from the dew on the
ground.
I mean, it was great. Okay, I'll shut up now. Please keep going because I had to remember that story. It was a good story.
Well, that's a good point about it, because they are always around the moist, damp areas, because they do put their larvae in the ground, and they eat. I want to say mosquito larvae when they get bigger. I mean, so they tend to be closer to the ground. So I've never, and I've seen them growing up all my life, and I had never seen them up in the trees like that. So that's what got my attention at first, was they were so high and so bright. And then I said there were some that were red. So it was just different. Right off the bat, you knew it was different. And the energy changed. It shifted a little bit, because I am an energy reader. And I noticed, you know, when we started talking to them, the energy shifted a little bit. And then here the lights pop up. So it was pretty cool.
I'm just going to stop you and say, that's a really neat story. Okay, please continue, Matt.
Okay, yeah. And what? So she starts talking to him, and I'm like, so she pulls out her phone, and so she starts recording them, and she's talking to them, as we both are, and we're observing. And so they're coming, the tops of the trees is weird. Not to us, really, but most people would say it's weird. But they're coming out of the trees, out of the tops of these trees, and they're getting closer to us. And as she's talking to them, it's like it's drawing them in. That's where I was like, well, there's some intelligence to these things. So as it's coming in and they're up above us, all of a sudden they're up above us, a big swarm of them. She's recording. She's talking to them. And, like, they get close to us and they start moving around. And I'll let you go ahead and finish up, Jamie.
Well, there were, I don't know how many of them. As, like you said, we were talking to them, and just they started coming, circling kind of around us. So they were responding, actually intelligent responses to what we were saying. And then, I mean, like I said, some of them were red. Most of them were the real bright white, and just flashing off. Some of them were moving around the way that a firefly will flash over here, and then you kind of see it flash in another location. And then it was just, they all disappeared all at one time. There's a whole swarm of them around us, and then they all just vanished. They didn't just slowly fade away. They were just out of there all of a sudden. I mean, that's crazy.
They're up above us, and they're circling us as they come in. Mm-hmm. They're up above us. She's recording. They're all up above us, and we're talking to them or whatever. And then all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, boom, they all disappear. They're gone. They just, boom, mm-hmm. vanish. And we didn't see any more after that. After they came down close, they observed us up above us. I don't know if they're saying hello or what, but they were so bright. They looked like, we thought they were stars at first, until it went out, and then it brightened up again, and then it went out.
All right. Now, Matt, I'm going to start the questioning to both of you, and I'm going to say this. If they were that bright, they weren't fireflies. They just were not.
No.
Because
I'm
looking in my head, and I can see the approximate brightness of the body of a firefly. They're not that bright. So what in the world were they?
No.
Well, I have my theory.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say, we've got our theories. I'll let Jamie go ahead and tell her what you think they are.
I think the fairies, because I speak to, and I say fairies kind of openly as a kind of vague, because we like to label everything, but they're like they had a real forest entity kind of vibe, like energy. They weren't human. I mean, because you have your ghosts, and then, you know, you have your different classifications of spirits, and these were like, they had that forest kind of energy. And I thought that right before they showed up, I was like, there's a sort of like an elemental kind of energy in the area. And then, you know, we start talking, and they show right up. So I'm calling them fairies. I'm calling them fairy lights until we find a better, more specific label for them. But that's what, because it's fun. They were pretty little, you know, intelligent lights. They weren't, like I said, they weren't just there. they responded to us. So that's what I'm calling.
All right. All right. Now, here's what I think that I would like to do. I was just talking to our good friend Jen Cruz of the She Squatchers, and she is truly one of my more amazing friends in this paranormal universe. And I would like to get her back on a show here on Scarecast Tuesday, and I would like to get Jen to hear what you guys saw, because, in fact, this past Sunday, Jen and I talked for about 90 minutes about fairies, and it was an amazing talk. And I would like to get, and Matt, would that be cool? We can get Jen Cruz on here?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
I love Jen. We love Jen. I mean, Jen's like such a good friend. What I like her, she's strange like me. She's had a lot of experiences. No, I love Jen. We love Jen. We take her to the bank and tell everybody that she's in it to invest in her because she's great. But no, Jen Cruz is a wonderful lady, and I'll see if Jen would come on the show, and I'd love to have you all here to talk about that. I think that's a good topic, and I will say this, that a lot of people don't talk about wood fairies, because I believe that's normally what people knowledgeable call them. A lot of people don't talk about wood fairies like they should, because I don't know why. But anyway, now, Kyler,
well,
I'm going to call you up from your quietness and say, Kyler, do you have a question or comment for Matt and for Jenna and for Jamie. I'm sorry. I think just a minute.
I spent a little bit of time over in Austin over the weekend, and we went to this, like, I think the name of it was like the Museum of the Weird, and they had a bunch of stories on fairies and, you know, what happened in Aurora, Texas. So, yeah, stuff like this, the little lights. My immediate thought what was I going to say? I completely lost it. I didn't think of fairies, which was a genius side story to go into. I don't know a whole lot about fairies, but I read a little bit about them at this little museum. I thought it was kind of cool. So, I mean, I don't think we've ever talked about fairies on Scarecast before. So if you guys could go more into that, that would be cool.
Well, we haven't.
I'm the fairy queen.
Yeah, Jamie. Right, Jamie's the one I'm to hit on for that.
Jamie, this is Dr. John. If I can just get us started. Because fairies are creatures. They are live, mm-hmm. living creatures in the same sense that Bigfoot is. I mean, Bigfoot's alive. Mm-hmm. Bigfoot's out there. And they are very mm-hmm. much real. And you need to be very careful about them. Some mm-hmm. are good. Some are absolutely wonderful. And some mm-hmm. are not so good and wonderful. All right, uh-huh. now, Jamie, I'll turn it over to you. Was that an okay introduction?
Yeah. Well, and we had this discussion, too, because there are fairy lights that try to lure you into the woods. There are different types of fairies, and they're almost, most of them are free will. I mean, they're like humans. You have your good and you have your bad. They, you know, they have emotions just like us. They weren't trying to lure us anywhere. So you're absolutely correct that you need to be careful. I wouldn't follow the lights into the forest if they're trying to lead you anywhere. But these were coming around us. So, and like I said, I've worked with that sort of energy before. So generally, we can tell if it's – both of us can read the situations where you know if there's danger or, you know, if it's something that wants to come and be friendly and interact with you and that sort of thing. So in this case, we were 100%, there was nothing, you know, it didn't have that vibe like we were in danger or anything. But there are those that, and I haven't seen those, the type that try to lure you into the forest. They're supposed to be, and if I'm correct on this, I believe they're more of a solid light, where these were like a flashing kind of light. So I'm not sure what, oh, I wish I could remember what those are called. Gosh, we were just talking about these the other day. The ones that try to lure you in. But there's, I mean, there's so many different types that that will work with you, and they'll help you in the garden.
I said pixies.
No, they're not pixies. These were the,
I'm just talking about different types.
It starts with an S. Yeah. The will-o-wisp. Is it will-o-wisp?
Okay, yeah.
That try to lure you into the forest. But yes, there are all kinds of things that fall into. Even honestly, the banshees are considered a type of fae. So the fae, the umbrella for that big, they're not all your friendly little Tinkerbells. Some of them are pretty, you know, they're pretty powerful in, I guess you would say, they're, you know, they can do harm or good. Again, they have their own little personalities. So you do have to show respect. That's, to me, I think, and that's most with most spirits in general. If you show respect, then they tend to be more friendly than if you don't. So, and they live everywhere. Even in, I mean, you have the ones that live that are in your house, and I say live. I mean, they are spirits, but they're sort of solid. So they're kind of in their own little category. So they phase in and out of. And like ghosts can move things, fairies can, you know, take your things. They tend to have the reputation of taking things and hiding things and little tricky, little tricksters. They like to play jokes and stuff. So, like I said, in general, they're kind of their own little personalities. So just treat them with respect is the main thing. And like I said, don't follow them into the woods because some of them aren't friendly. Many
no. Doesn't people leave out like little gifts for them and stuff like that?
And I am people. I leave out little sparkly things, and but you have to be careful. You have to make it known that you're not asking for them necessarily to come and because again, some of them are they're tricksters. But I leave like little sparkly things. They like glitter and shinies, and you can leave them milk and honey and stuff like that. So if you feel like, for example, if there's something going on and you feel like things are coming up missing and just things are being moved around and that sort of thing, and you feel like you have fairies playing tricks on you, you can leave them a little gift and ask them to please stop or whatever. But like I said, just be respectful. And I said, I usually leave like bread and honey or something because they really like the sweets and stuff. But again, you have to be careful with those little guys.
Well, good to know. Yeah. So if my socks go missing again, I'll go ahead and leave something out for them.
Ask them to bring it
that
back.
Might be the dryer.
There's a portal in the dryer.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah, there's a portal in that dryer.
That's probably
that
where
that sock always comes up missing.
I mean, I'll say this, all joking aside, there are lots of portals, and we need to be careful about them.
Mm-hmm.
Jen Cruz was talking to me about the old one day I was out in the woods. She's talking about herself. She was out in the woods, and there was a lighted path that she was following.
Mm.
And something, one of her voices inside her head said, you need to stop. And then she saw these rings, which were indicative of a portal. And the voice, who sounded like the voice of a friend, And I thought this was great. This was a great learning thing that she told me, and I wanted to share this with everybody. She said, you know, sometimes your guardian angel will sound like a friend of yours. Mm-hmm. And the friend said, don't go near this. And she took some pictures and she left and she got in her car and went away. She was by herself. And she took a look at those pictures and she saw these concentric, lots of rings upon rings. I said, obviously those were portals. She said, yes, they were. And they wanted me to come in there. And I'm glad that my guardian angel sounded like a very good friend of mine who had passed away. And the guardian angel said, don't go near them. You will never come back out. I mean, we don't know what's in portals. It's kind of scary. So anyway, it was just kind of neat that she had this experience, and she said, these were wood fairies. And that's what scared mm-hmm. me, is because they were so, what's the word? They were so familiar with what was going on in the woods. So, you know, you got to be really careful when you're out there. I mean, Matt knows. I mean, in my book, Look Up in the Sky, we've got his story, The Indiana Bigfoot Sighting of Matt Delf. But you've got to be careful out there in the woods. Am I correct, Matt Delf?
Oh, definitely. Most definitely. The world's not as it seems. A lot of people go out there and just, that's why you got so many missing people reports. It's not
as
friendly.
That's why David Pilates is famous, right?
Yep, exactly. And when you're out there in these elements, the woods don't care who you are. They don't care what you had for breakfast, what you mean to anybody. It's its own world. Once you enter in it, you're part of it. It don't care about you or anything else. So you have got to be very cautious, very cautious.
And you've got to have a friend or two or three with you, and you better mm-hmm. stay very close to them so that you can touch them. Do you agree with that?
Well, I can't. You're supposed to practice with your freak, but as everybody knows, I get in trouble a lot for going out by myself. But if I get that urge, I get that urge. But, yeah, the smart thing to do, the intelligent thing to do, is let people know where you're at if you are going somewhere. It's even better to take somebody with you and not separate, because the point of separation is usually where things go wrong when you're out in the woods. And so if you're out in the woods, usually take somebody, let people know where you guys are going. And, you know, a lot of people take the woods for granted, but there's a lot goes on out there that most people don't know about. It's a different world there. It's uninvited. I mean, it's its own energy, and you've got multiple energies that live amongst the woods. So you've got to be very, very cautious.
And some of them aren't. They like to play tricks. I mean, they'll shift what everything looks like on you and play tricks with your mind. So.
That's like one time we were in Middle Tennessee, and I'm really good at navigation through the woods. But the only time, I think, in my whole life that I was kind of confused was in Middle Tennessee, and it was about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I had some friends with me, and we were out in this one area, and there's no people around or anything. So I start following a game trail. Something big had been through there, so I'm tracking in the middle of the night this big game trail. We get to a certain point and we just turn out the lights, sit there in the darkness. But then when we turn the lights, our lights back on, it was like, it was confusing because it looked like somebody had just rearranged the forest on us. We could not see the trail that we had just come down. We couldn't see, it was weird. It was like some kind of woodland fairies or something just moved everything around on us and had us confused. Of course, you know, we got back on track and stuff. But at the beginning, it was hard to find our trail again, where we had just come from. If I wasn't skilled in the woods, then I could have been in trouble if I wasn't, you know, especially if I was alone. So, yeah, you definitely got to be careful.
Absolutely, and I agree with that, because I've got some stories that I don't really have in my books, but there are some crazy things that go on in the woods, and you've got to be careful. We were taught to be careful. We were taught to respect the woods, and we were taught to always have a friend with us. That was like the Cub Scout and the Boy Scout deal. Always have a friend with you. But I think these days you got to have, I don't know, two, three, or four friends with you to make sure nothing happens, because something can happen to two people as easily as it can one. Do you agree, Matt?
Yeah, definitely. Especially, I mean, I've witnessed it firsthand. I've watched two team members on film, on video, disappear into the portal in the at the Meadow Project. So now we take precautions there.
One is our dear friend Grumpy, right?
Yes, yes. And
we
love some of the procedures.
We love Grumpy, don't we? Grumpy.
Oh yeah,
great.
He's definitely one that I look up to. He has been doing this. I've been doing this since 1996, and he's been doing it since the early 80s. I mean, he is a veteran of the field for sure, and he's experienced
a
lot.
He's a good guy. And maybe
yeah,
we
don't
can
let
have
the name Grumpy fool you. Yeah, don't let
he's
the name Grumpy fool you.
But you know what? We still love him, right?
He's got the biggest heart. He does. He's got the biggest heart. He's all about safety. We go on expeditions. You got to call, let him know that we made it home safe. You've got to, you know, he's one of the good ones, that's for sure.
Oh, my God,
but
he sounds like me.
We got procedures.
It's like, you better call me or I'll come out and get you. And I'll call the 911 and the 411 and everybody. Yeah, that's great. Well, that's wonderful. Kyle, you better start asking a question here, because we are in the middle of a really great interview about things that truly go bump in the woods. Matt, do you like that phrase? They are things do go bump in the woods, don't they?
Yes, they do.
All right, Kyler, your question, comment.
Well, I'm pretty used to hearing Matt randomly getting up in the middle of the night to go for an expedition. It seems like it's a common thing that goes on, but it seems also like you always find something when you have those urges. Is that right? Kind of a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I feel like something's, like, there's no way that can be just a coincidence. Like, something's got to be telling you, like, hey, dude, get up.
That,
something's going on.
Exactly. There's no such thing as coincidence. Everything happens.
I wonder.
That is
exactly.
I'm sorry.
Like, I'm wondering, what is that?
Excuse me. I'm going to stop the world. Matt, I'm going to stop the world. And you are so correct. There is no such thing as coincidence. I'll let you go. Okay.
Yeah, I get a lot of that, and I usually have activity. And some people call it, some of the guys that I've gotten with, and they'll tell me, hey, what's your spidey senses, whatever, but I can feel energy. A lot of people say that I produce a lot of energy, and everything is energy, so vibration, frequency, everything. Your thoughts are energy. That's, you can manifest stuff into real life just through your thoughts. You create your own reality, but I'll get a sense of, I usually get a vision, I'll get a feeling. I can tell when something is present. I can tell when the energy shifts. I don't know. You know, I'm trying, still learning about it. But, for example, Georgia Bigfoot Conference, not this time, but last year at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, that night after the conference, I had two friends that showed up, and they went and set up a campsite up in the mountains, same mountains that me and Jamie went to this past one where we seen the lights. And I could tell there was nothing going on. I'm getting ready to leave because I had to head, because it's Easter Sunday that morning, and I had to go to Alabama. So I get up, and I'm like, there's nothing here. And as soon as I start to walk to my car, I felt the presence of something near. And I turned around, and I looked at George. I said, George, set up your recorders. Turn your recorders on, because you usually audio, film, anything we can. I tell him, I'm like, there's something here. And he's like, you feel something? I said, yeah. I said, there's something here right now. And I looked down at my phone, and this was like April 8th. I looked down at my phone, and my phone, the time and date had changed to February 1st. And I'll tell George, I said, see, look, my phone changed, time, date, everything. I said, there's something present. And then he looks at his phone. His phone's fine, normal date, time. Same way with Steve. He looks at his phone, everything's same. I'm like, there's something here now. I mean, I can feel when there's something present. I have a lot of that. A lot of my encounters, I can feel, hey, we need to go here. I can tell if there's something present in the woods. I can read the energy. I can feel it, really. A lot of people, I don't know, I think it's got something to do with possibly my blood type, which I'm a A negative, Rh negative person. And those people, it's the hybrid blood. They can't link it back to anything. And so I don't know if it's that or if it's just, I think a lot of it has to do with my past lives. I'm just supposedly a powerful being. I can feel this different energies. I can read it. I'm trying to learn how to use it more. Jamie can explain to you a little bit better.
Well, and, I mean, that's pretty much it. But a lot of people are, well, not a lot of people, the clairs, your clairaudience, clairsentience, all of your clairs where you're in tune to different, just knowing or where you hear things or see, like you'll catch visions and that sort of thing. So I think you're just in tune with probably all of your clairs more so than a lot of people. And that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing more and more people who are tuning into that. All of, you know, there's what I dub gifts. You know, we all call them gifts because that's just kind of our way of everybody knowing what we're talking about kind of thing. It seems like there's a lot more people that are tuning into their gifts and stuff, but some people are just, you know, from the get-go, like their entire lives have been in tune and just know. You just get these knowings, and like I said, you get, some people get the where you hear or you taste or you smell, or I get most of them as well. The taste I'm not real fond of, thankfully. I don't get that one very often, and I don't know that all of mine are quite as strong, but it just seems like and then you just listen to it, that, and I think you've been listening to it for a lot longer. And the more you listen and the more you acknowledge what you're hearing, you're feeling, you're seeing, the stronger it gets, and the more your guides are going to understand that you're listening. So they're going to, some of them, you know, they're sending you guidance on some things, and so they're going to send you more. So the whole thing is kind of a you know, it's just a wild ride. You get on this ride and you just all start piling up on you. In a good way, though. So I think you're just a natural at most.
I believe, though, mine is a lot more powerful than a lot of people.
It is, because your energy is very different. And a lot of people aren't energy producers. A lot of people need energy from places because their vibration, they're not at the high vibration that or whatever, that there's a whole lot of chatter about ascending. We're ascending, we're raising our vibration and that sort of thing. And the higher your vibration gets, the more in tune you are with these things. And the more people who are doing this, the easier it is for, too, as a collective, to sort of listen to these things. So get your people who are just natural kind of leading the way. I think that's my theory on a lot of it anyway. Some people try their whole lives and can't, you know, they can't figure it out. You know, they practice and they'll But then you got other people who are just naturals.
Yeah, I believe I've got my own theory. So I'm the chosen one, so I can. I just feel it. I know it. People ask me how. I'm just like, I can't explain it, but I just know things. So, but yeah, it's different. It's I can tell if there's something in the woods or not. I can tell when something's entered the woods. I see different visions, but my whole family's that way. And I think a lot of it has to do with the Rh negative bloodline that flows through us, because the people that I hang out with mostly, investigating stuff with, are Rh negative as well. And they've got similar empath type abilities, psychic abilities. If you do some research on Rh negative, you can see where that has opened up. And then you got people that have had trauma, and it opens up more channels. You just have to get in tune with it and try and look for stuff. I've been able to do it since I was young. I've always been stubborn, though. But whenever I had my encounter, it opened me thinking outside the box. I always felt stuff, knew stuff before. But once I had my encounter, it just enhanced it like 100 times. So I don't know if that answered any questions or not, because I really don't know the answer.
We just rambled. Well, and that's one of the part
know,
of the fun about all of this.
Do what?
Said, next thing you know, Matt's going to be swinging by trees from the webs that's coming out of his hands.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's what people call it, though. My friends always tease me and say my spidey senses. They're like, what are you feeling? Get your spidey senses out there.
Pretty spot on description, yeah.
And that's a good way to. We have a hard time trying to label some of this stuff and to where we all understand what we're talking about. So that's a good one. And we joke about it, but I mean that's how you're gonna remember it. I mean, it's one way to remember and discuss it. So, and a lot of people, if they wouldn't second guess themselves and you know, oh, it just was this, or you know, not listen to that voice. You know, the more people that listen to the voice, they're gonna it's going to be stronger for them. So,
especially if you've been listening to it since you were a kid, probably, too.
Right. He's just been going and doing his own thing his whole life. So.
Yeah.
And that's what I think. I don't think I'd be alive if I didn't listen to my inner voice, whatever it is, whatever you want to call it. It's gotten me out of trouble a lot. Whatever sense you want to call it. I would definitely recommend, if you get these pulls or draws or ideas or thoughts, follow them, because, I mean, it's easier to be right and safe than it is to be wrong and go, man, I wish I had listened.
Did we lose John? Seems a little quiet.
I think he fell asleep again.
Is John out there?
No.
Yeah.
His call may have dropped.
There he is.
Oh, there
we didn't know
there
if he'd lost you or not.
No, I know. I had to take a quick go out and come back. No, that's just very interesting. I mean, you know, this is like really, really cool stuff. And, you know, we want to definitely do more about this. So, I mean, yeah, I had to. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and tell you what happened. There was a noise outside my door, and I walked outside, and I heard something walking, and it was nothing in the hallway. And I apologize. You know how it is, Matt, when you come up against things that happen, you got to go investigate them, right?
Exactly.
And I had to sneak outside the door, and I had to put it on mute. And I had to go outside, and it was nothing, but the dog was whimpering downstairs. So I don't know, and I'm going to ask, my friend who I stay with, you know, what was going on. So we'll see, and I'll let everybody know next week. So, yeah, I had to go check all that out. But anyway, that was great. And so I tell you what, now I have missed the last 10 minutes because I was prowling around the upstairs looking for this sound. So how are we in our story? Have we closed up our story, so to speak?
Yeah, just taking questions or pretty much.
Okay, well good. And so now
she did get this on video. She did get the lights on video, so we're still analyzing, trying to. We need to get a bigger screen to bring them up so that way we can zoom in on the lights.
Well, is it possible that we can get a file with the video?
Yeah, we're still working on a lot of that stuff. We're trying to break it down, but it's hard to, if you record with a cell phone, which she did, it makes everything look farther away than what it really is. I don't know why, but it makes it projected out farther.
And I want to say something else about a cell phone, is it makes everything look grainy. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Well, I had no idea what I was pointing at because it was pitch black. I mean, it was dark. He didn't have a flashlight, and you got the infrared out too, and it went dead. I mean, we didn't have any light. I had no clue if I was catching anything. I was just kind of trying to point and aim, and hope that we got something. And you know, that's what I mean. When we were talking to them, and they were coming closer, they were letting us, I mean, and I tend to think a lot of things. I communicate with a lot of spirits telepathically. Back to being polite and stuff, you ask permission to do this and everything. And I knew if they didn't want us to have pictures, we weren't getting the pictures. I expected our phones to go dead or anything like that, but they didn't. The only thing that went dead was the infrared.
Okay.
It was pitch black.
Yeah, my thermal, it, as soon as we pulled it out,
So I'll say that the two of you need to go back and do some more investigation, and we'll talk more about it. And I do want to get Jen Cruz to talk to you about that. So, Matt, you'd like that, and I'll see what I can do to get Jen Cruz with us, okay?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, good.
I'd like
Kyler,
that area,
and
we're going to go back.
Yeah. Now,
definitely,
Kyler, do you have any final questions for our friends and companions?
You guys, I mean, back on the note of the dogs, John, you said your dog was going to bring downstairs. Matt, do you guys ever take dogs with you? Because I feel like I've heard before, like, they're great. They'd be able to tell, like, what's around as well. I mean, I could just be hearing that from anybody, but
I do not take dogs because they'll be running around. If you have a area, they might, for example, they might mess up. Like, say if you had an encounter with something, when you go back for evidence, a dog can mess up your evidence. It could be running through your area, messing up tracks, stuff like that. Usually if they do sense something, sometimes they'll start barking, stuff like that, and I'm trying to draw it in or get closer to it instead of scare it away. But I have noticed one thing. You were talking about dogs. A lot of people with these Bigfoot reports and stuff, a dog, you get a lot of this, if there is a bear or a mountain lion or something that's getting close to the human, a dog will try to step in and protect its human, you know, interfere, slow down, whatever it's trying to get its owner. But a lot of these other stuff, cryptid reports, like with these dog men, werewolves, Bigfoot, the dog won't do it. It will whimper and tail between its legs, and it will hide. I've heard of people coon hunting, and the dog ran and jumped, got back in its dog box and wouldn't come out. So could be dangerous to your dog, too. So I noticed, though, that if you do have something like that and your dog's doing that, it's probably something other than a mountain lion or a bobcat or a bear that it's come across and causes it to run back, because they normally are not scared. They will give their life up most time for their to try and divert whatever's going after their owner, but not with the Bigfoot most of the time. They will run, hide, or like a werewolf or a dog man, whatever you want to call them. They will usually kind of whimper away from it. But I don't like to take dogs just for the fact that, you know, you're trying to listen. It just kind of messes up my investigation, because I'm like a private eye out there, like a crime scene, whenever I'm investigating a lot. And I don't
I didn't think about
any
that part.
Roman free messing everything up.
That makes sense.
And it makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, Matt, just keep us informed on how your investigations are going. And we were so glad to have you. And we were so glad to have Jamie with us tonight. And we're going to divert to Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time on Scarycast Network, number one paranormal network. We want everyone to join us. And now this Thursday night, we will have Growing Up Haunted with co-host Ryan Trembley and with the one and only Kyler Smith. So we're going to have a great time.
Excellent.
Absolutely, we will. And we're working on a guest for Thursday night. And wanted to thank both of you for being here. And we will see you next week on the one and only Scarycast Tuesday, and we're going to have a great time. So, look, thanks a lot, and let me see if I can – there we are. So I want everyone to say goodbye. Everybody say
bye,
goodbye guys. Now.
Good night, everyone.
Kyler, we didn't hear you say goodbye.
Oh, I might have been muted. Bye, guys. Good night.
All right, everybody, say good night. We'll see you next week. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.